Summerfield, host of Inspire Indeed, where we're learning from community leaders about the inspiring work they're doing to bring some solutions to the challenges they see in our community and in the world. And hopefully their stories will inspire you to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. You know, coming up on September 20th and 21st, the Women, War, and Peace Conference will be held at the VCU Student Commons. And leading up to this event, we here at WRIR are going to be hosting a few people and sharing some stories related to it. The event is a collaborative offered by VCU, Virginia Friends of Mali, Richmond Peace Education Center, and the Richmond Sister Cities Commission, including other partners. And it will have film screenings, lectures, and a chance to talk about topics of women, war, and peace, with a particular focus on the struggles in Mali and Liberia. Today on Inspire Indeed, we'll talk about this event and some of the related projects that relate to partnerships that have been formed between Richmond and its sister community, Segu Mali. Joining me today is Alan Levenberg, a founding member of Virginia Friends of Mali and Richmond project team leader of the African Urban Poverty Alleviation Program, which works to address needs, including how to provide medical equipment supplies for communities in other parts of the world. So, Alan, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Elaine. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting me, and I want to thank WRIR for their interest in this peace conference and for inviting so many of us to come in and speak on the local show host programs.
Definitely. Well, it's definitely a good fit for our goals to get the word out on things that really impact the community and stories that you might not hear other places in local media. So it's, we're very happy to host you. So first, Alan, I'm curious to learn about how you personally became active in working with communities in Mali. So what sparked this passion of yours?
Well, that's a good question. Thank you for asking that. I've been interested for many years in traditional music and dance, and through that interest and my friendship with Dr. Robin Poulton and Michelle Poulton, his wife, Dr. Michelle Poulton, I became not a little bit knowledgeable about the country of Mali. They spent many years in the country of Mali as NGOs working in education and health and peace issues. And through their interest and an invitation to join them on a visit to the country of Mali, I met many business people, many diplomats, many Peace Corps people, ministers of the government, the prime minister, and so on. And through that, from that first visit, grew a passionate interest in the country of Mali, the people of Mali, the music of Mali. And so it just grew from there.
And then you've taken this knowledge and then looked at the local Richmond community and thought about how we here in Richmond can partner with Mali and maybe be an asset to Mali as they're sharing their culture with us. So how did that come about?
Well, there's a music festival in the city of Segu. It's called the Festival on the Niger. It was founded the same year our Richmond Folk Festival was founded. And so we began to look at why Richmond and Segu could become partners. What did we have in common? What were our people, African Americans, European Americans? What are the commonalities between our cities? And they're musical and they're cultural and there are many reasons to identify relationships between the two countries. And so I thought, well, I want to be a citizen diplomat. How do you become a citizen diplomat? Well, you call up the Sister Cities International, and you look at their website, and you find ways to become sister cities. And so I asked City Council to put me on the Sister City Commission. I was appointed to the Sister City Commission. I've been on the commission for 5 years. We became aware of a grant being funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation called the Africa Urban Poverty Alleviation Program grant, and we applied for that, and we were one of 24 sister city relationships that won the grant, and we did very well. When I say we, I mean our Richmond team, of which I was the project manager, and our Segu team, which Madani Sissoko, who is a councilman in Segu, he was the project leader there, and we identified three projects, and we completed them successfully.
So what were the projects related to? Well, I mean, the name of the program is Africa Urban Poverty Alleviation, so I'm assuming it's related to that. Is there a high concentration or a high number of people living in poverty in Segu?
Well, you know, poverty can be seen in different ways. If you don't have enough money to eat, that's one kind of poverty. If you don't have social welfare systems, that's a different kind of poverty. If you don't have those things, but you have great camaraderie amongst your the people of your town, well, that's not poverty. Mali is a poor country, and so there's a great need for services, and we saw that along with our team in Segu, we saw this need. And so we identified together that there were three facilities that we could help. One was a kindergarten that served about 500 children. One was a clinic that served maybe 25,000 people. And a public market.
And so you're kind of focused on education, access to health care, and how to generate income, have a place to trade goods, and a place to make a living.
Well, what we identified the need to be was latrines.
Oh, okay.
And so
public health issues.
These are public health issues that we identified that we could have the most positive effect with the smallest amount of money. It wasn't an awful lot of money. It was $115,000.
For three big projects that, you need to think about how you're going to have the biggest impact,
Big impact. Mm-hmm. And so we built 8-unit blocks of latrines at the three locations, and we also built a separate building, or funded the building. All the work was done by local people there. Mm-hmm. We funded the building of a six room addition to the clinic, providing examination space, intake, and so on.
Great. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're speaking with Alan Levenberg, who's providing some background information related to the upcoming Women, War, and Peace Conference to be held at VCU on September 20th and 21st. And Alan, where do you recommend people get more information about either Virginia Friends of Mali and the conference that's coming up?
The conference, the best place to look on the internet is peace, PEACE, at vcu.edu. All the information about the Peace Festival is there. There are a couple of other places if you're interested in. We're going to be discussing right now in a couple of minutes, I think, Project CURE, near and dear to my heart, You can look at Project Cure on the internet, and also Virginia Friends of Mali, VAFriendsOfMali.org. But for the peace conference, I want to reiterate peace@vcu.edu.
Great. That's where you can get all the details and how to get registered and see what's in store. Because you could, even if you don't have time for the whole 2 days, you could at least come for a lecture of interest or come see a film screening that may have be of particular interest to you, but there's definitely a lot of different options for people to get involved.
Right.
Great. Now, you were talking about the projects that you helped to support with, in partnership with others in Ségou, and some projects to assist the people in those communities to maybe have better access to healthcare, have some projects to address public health issues, and that was supported, you said, through Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation grant?
Yes, that's correct.
That you had to apply for and then receive through with help from Sister Cities? Is that how it worked?
It was, yes. Mm-hmm. Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation gave $7.5 million for these projects, mm-hmm. and the projects were administered through the Sister Cities International. So we applied to Sister Cities International.
I see. And then I'm sure it was a massive global project that $7 million went to. So
all in Africa.
Yeah. Oh, it was
all in Africa.
All in Africa, as yeah. Africa.
African urban. Sister yeah. Cities.
Great. Okay. So looking at that project, I'm curious to know, like, were there specific either challenges that you came across in getting those projects off the ground, or, you know, the way that relationships work sometimes, if you're coming from outside a community, you're not always welcomed in, you know. How were you received in going in to develop those projects? What did that relationship look like?
Well, I think probably our project was one of the top successful projects, and that's because we didn't have the problems that you think one might have coming into another country. And we didn't have those problems because of our association with Drs. Poulton, who had lived and worked there for so many years that
they had relationships, and they were trusted.
They were trusted, mm-hmm. and we were trusted when we went there because we were clearly not going for personal gain.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I would imagine that the Sister Cities relationship as well, having a team there that's from Ségou, community leaders in their own community being directly involved, would also lead to success.
Yes, it was. Everything went very smoothly. Everything went very smoothly between Richmond Sister Cities personnel, the administration, the mayor's office, city council, our members of Virginia Friends of Mali, the government administration, the mayor's office in Ségou, city council there, private business people. Everyone understood that this was going to be clearly for the benefit of people in Ségou, and so there was excellent cooperation.
Well,
we had no
great.
Problems.
Well, that's great. That's
well, you know,
unusual.
We had some problems transferring finances from one place to another.
Oh, yeah, I imagine.
And
there's
that
some
was
red
frustrating.
Tape to get through. Yeah.
But there were no holdups about how to get
how
work
to actually
done.
Get the work done on the ground. Yeah, well, that's inspiring, definitely. So you learned a lot, I'm sure, through those projects about what the needs are in the community. And I understand that at the conference coming up on September 20th and 21st at VCU, there's going to be a panel discussion related to Project Cure, correct?
Correct. Uh-huh. Yes.
And so give us a little bit of background about Project Cure, what the goals of Project Cure are, how it got started.
Okay. So you know, I forget if we talked about this before we went on the air or uh-huh. while we were on the air, but uh-huh. Through Sister Cities International, there are so many ways to make contact with people doing interesting projects, and at a project manager's meeting in Nairobi for the AUPAP project was brought to my attention by another winner of the AUPAP grant about Project Cure. So, and it was suggested to me by Sister Cities International people that I explore Project Cure. Well, Project Cure is an NGO organization, a 501c3 in Colorado. It's the probably the largest organization collecting donated medical equipment and supplies for delivery to underserved people worldwide. Over 130 countries, they've been in existence for 20 or 30 years now, quite some time.
So they're helping to facilitate the donations of the supplies and equipment and get them to the folks that could benefit from it the most.
What they do is they send a needs assessment team to the facilities that have been selected for the project. And together with the management of those facilities, the Project Cure personnel who are there to do the needs assessment, and someone from the local organization here in Richmond, everybody agrees on what is needed and what will be delivered. And so Project Cure delivers a shipping container, one of those super large shipping containers of supplies and equipment worth between $400,000 and $500,000 of those materials to the selected facilities.
Now, have they identified Segu now? Have they already done the needs assessment, or is that what's coming up?
I've been discussing this with Project Cure for almost 2 years, and we had moved it along very well when the coup happened about a little over a year ago, and so it came to a halt. So I've invited Joe McClosey, who's a longtime volunteer with Project Cure, and with whom I've been discussing this for a couple of years, to come to the conference, and he will be a key member of my Project Cure panel.
Okay.
I'm suggesting three facilities that could benefit from donated equipment and supplies, medical equipment and supplies. One is the clinic that we worked with on the AUPAP project. Another is the main hospital in our sister city of Segu, and also in Segu, Physicians for Peace, which is an organization in Norfolk that does similar to work to what we're doing, has just built and opened a blood bank in Segu.
Oh.
So I'm suggesting that those three entities, the blood bank, the clinic, and the hospital, be recipients of Project Cure benefits.
Great. Well, now, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're joined by Alan Levenberg, who's with Virginia Friends of Mali and helping to organize the upcoming Women, War, and Peace Conference at VCU on September 20th and 21st. And he was just sharing some information also about Project Cure, which is going to be one of the featured talks at the conference. Remind us, Alan, where people can get details about the conference and Project Cure.
Okay. Take a look on the internet. You can look at Project Cure, P-R-O-G-J-E-C-T, Project Cure, C-U-R-E. And there's a lot of information there about that. Let me also mention that I'm also a member of the Richmond Sister City Commission, a big sponsor of the peace conference that's coming up. We'll be starting a fundraising effort for the Project Cure effort, which will kick off at the festival. You can go to the Virginia Friends of Mali website. That's VA Friends of Mali, all one word, .org. And we'll be updating that with more information about Project Cure and how you can help.
Great. And you said that at the conference, is it the information about the conference is at Peace
at VCU.org. vcu.edu.
Peace at vcu.edu. You can get some more information about the conference. And so VCU, as one of the hosts, it's going to be at VCU Student Commons. So
yes.
Hopefully a lot of people can take advantage of the different activities that are going to be going on over those 2 days. Now, going back to Project Cure for a minute, you talked about the process that Project Cure brings to the table in terms of assessing the needs that are there in the communities that will be served, and including leadership from, like, the hospital involved in those discussions. I would assume that's kind of come about through their lessons learned. I can imagine that a community may say, we need, X number of exam tables, and then you get there and you realize, no, what they really need are these exam tables that are for very specific needs, for people, maybe people with special physical needs, or maybe for children or geriatric or something, and helping to think through really the details of what could benefit them.
Well, that's exactly right. So it's very important that that agreement be reached between the people who are raising donations and the people who will be receiving them about what exactly is going to be coming, and so part of our fundraising for this is we need to our buy-in for this is $20,000. So $20,000 goes to Project Cure, and that helps to support the organization of Project Cure. Mm-hmm. And the trip by at least one of their people to the recipient facilities. So we want to be sure that the proper equipment, the proper supplies are sent.
Do you know how Project Cure locates their donations? Do they have
They have a team. I don't know specifically. That'll be a question that we'll ask Joe McClosey during the panel.
Uh-huh.
But they raise product from distributors, from manufacturers.
Mm-hmm. Was their focus on new supplies, or do they also gather things that are gently used?
I think it's all new.
All new. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's really when you're thinking about a hospital setting, they are going to be getting new state-of-the-art equipment that's really going to be helpful to their needs.
And some medicines also, although that's not a big part of this, because medicines do go out of U state. So that's not the biggest part of it. This is probably well over 90%. Being equipment and supplies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, you said that one clinic serves over 25,000 people a year, so I'm sure they're constantly in need of support to keep it well equipped. And what about staffing too? I'm just curious about medical staffing. Do they face challenges in Segu, Mali, in terms of having the nurses and the doctors and the specialists to provide?
Well, they
the
have nurses and they have doctors, mm-hmm. and so is staffing a problem? I don't really think it is, mm-hmm. although I don't know for sure.
Sure, sure. I
don't think it is. We've been to those facilities and they are well run and well staffed, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. lots of people around them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the problem. The problem is in getting a sufficient supplies and sufficient equipment. Segu has become, during this period of unrest in the north, a refuge for people leaving that part of the country. So there's been
Segu
an increase.
Segu is more, it's located in terms of location in the country. It's further, it's like centrally located in the country.
It is centrally located.
Okay.
If you probably don't know the map of, but I'm going to describe it to you if you can see my hands. But it's in, Mali is sort of in the shape of a butterfly.
Uh-huh.
In the south, mm-hmm. is the capital.
Mm-hmm.
And the Niger River runs up to the north to Timbuktu, and then curves around through Niger, Nigeria, and comes back out in Nigeria in the delta.
And Segu, so Segu
lies between the two, between Timbuktu and Bamako, on the main road and on the Niger River.
So it has been a place for people seeking refuge to find a place. So there are more refugees in the community.
Over 25,000
new refugees just after the recent unrest, you said, the coup that took place last year. Now, there's been an election, Democratic election. They have a new president that was just sworn in. And so are you seeing, or is Mali seeing more stability now than a year ago?
We are. I'm so pleased to say that that is the case, that it looks much better. It looks like there's security now. It looks like there's a lot of that the unrest has been tamped down, not forcibly tamped down. Well, the French forcibly tamped down some of the problems. But it looks to us now that, that there's a real effort to cooperate and to get things back to normal. And we will have, at the conference, will be the ambassador of Mali will be at the peace conference,
oh,
along
wonderful.
With the mayor of Segu, city councilman from Segu. And we will address that question directly to them, because it's very important that, although we feel we can go there safely, that that Project Cure feels that they can go there safely.
And that if they're going to make that kind of investment, it's going to last. It's not going to be just, you know, something that would be short term and then be, you know, destroyed or something.
Right.
But it would be a lasting donation to help people for the long term.
Exactly. And that's our our goal, to do something that, that has an ongoing impact
on the people in Segu, Mali, our sister city. Now, believe it or not, we're out of time. It happens so fast, doesn't it? So thank you so much, Alan Levenberg, for joining me today on Inspire Indeed. Tell us again one more time where people can get information about Project Cure and the upcoming conference on September 20th and 21st.
The Peace Conference, you can go to peace, P-E-A-C-E, at vcu.edu, and all the information about the Peace Conference is there. Go to Project Cure for all the information
about
Project Cure.
Project Cure.
To VA Friends of Mali for information about Virginia Friends of Mali.
Great. Thank you again. And I'm always thankful for our fellow volunteers here at WRIR, like Jay Westerman, who helps out on the technical side, and Ahmad Karimi, who's down here on the soundboard today, and Brittany Tracy, who keeps the Inspire Indeed blog up to date at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. My name's Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed. I hope you learned something new on the show today and are ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds.